Tomas took a slow drink from a water skin, and then rotated his mace arm to work out the throbbing in his shoulder. The ligaments had been stretched one too many times, but he refused to admit he needed a lighter weapon. He watched Rody march his captive out of the trees and force him down hard on his knees in front of the small group of men.
"This one is a leader,"
Rody murmured through his forked beard. Tomas nodded, his dark eyes narrowing. He appeared tall because of his lean, wiry build, but he was still a full head shorter than Pearman Schnidrig, the fair-haired titan of a man standing next to him.
"Just a kid,"
Pearman said, his words strongly accented.
"Old enough to put a knife in your back if you show it to him,"
came another voice. Hermann Giesler, an angular man bordering on gaunt, with small eyes and black hair graying at the temples, strode forward and put the tip of his long sword in the middle of Erich's chest.
"Do we hang him, or spare the tree and run him through now?"
"Not worth the rope," said Urs,
a short, stocky man with forearms thickened by years at the forge.
"Let us take him to Schwyz and turn him over to the Vogt. Judging from the size of his band, they must have been quite active in this area. Might be a reward."
"Waste of time," Giesler said, shaking his head. "He will only slow us down, and no village in these lands has money for a reward. Besides, they would just hang him anyway."
Tomas gave his sore shoulder a hard squeeze to get the blood moving, and looked at the dead men littering the road. He turned to the man on his knees, who looked straight ahead, head held high and eyes unseeing. A small crucifix hung from the man's neck. He was healthy and better fed than the few people they had seen since crossing the Gotthard. Nevertheless, his eyes showed no hope. He had the look of a man who knew he was going to die, and perhaps that is what he deserved. Tomas had no way of knowing how many innocent deaths this man was responsible for, and he did not care. He had, of course, killed Christians before, but they had always been a threat in some way to the Christian kingdom in Utrimmer. Saracen spies or lowly mercenaries loyal to God only until the gold ran out. But here, in this cold valley, hidden in the shadows of rocky peaks so high and numerous you could ride for hours without seeing the sun, it felt different, senseless, as though God had no interest in how the lives of these people played out.
"We let him go,"
he said. Giesler looked at Tomas, eyes wide in disbelief.
"We might not spot him next time. To show his appreciation for the mercy you have shown, he will put a quarrel in your back first chance he gets."
"You confuse mercy with indifference. We are God's soldiers, chosen by our Lord to protect those who follow the one true faith. This man wears the cross at his neck. It is not our place to discipline half-starved ruffians."
He looked at the brigand, whose eyes had come alive and were darting side to side with a newfound hope that he may not be killed.
"You forget, Tomas. We no longer fight in his army,"
Giesler said. His mouth moved to say more, but he stopped himself.
"Bind him to a tree. By the time someone sets him free, we will be hours away,"
Tomas said. His tone left no room for debate. Giesler narrowed his eyes but lowered his sword. He knew there was no point arguing with Tomas once he decided on a course of action. But then he brightened, as a new solution presented itself in his mind. In one fluid motion, he reversed the grip on his sword, stepped in, and slammed the pommel into Erich's forehead. Stunned, Erich fell forward and reached out his hands to catch himself on the ground. Giesler whipped the blade onto Erich's right hand, cleanly severing away half of his first three fingers. The sword clanged as the steel made contact with the rocky ground, and just as swiftly, Giesler wiped and resheathed his blade. Erich screamed and pulled his hand into himself, curling up into a ball.
"No need to waste rope on his legs. He will not be any good with a bow for the rest of his miserable life,"
Giesler said, his mouth turning up slightly.